Shana Tova, everybody. Welcome to Rosh Hashanah 5780, the first few minutes of the first evening of the first day of this new year. And I thought I would begin this evening with a Hebrew lesson. So I hope you don't mind. You don't need notes or anything like that. You don't need to pull out your pads of paper or phones or whatever. Just a lesson on two Hebrew words. Rosh Hashanah. We'll start with the easy one, Rosh. Rosh is literally a head. This is my Rosh. When we say Rosh Hashanah, we mean the head of the Shana. We'll get to Shana in a minute. The beginning. Rosh is beginning. In fact, in a couple of weeks when we finish reading Torah and go all the way back to the beginning, the first word we will say is Bereshit, in the beginning, Barosh, in the beginning of the year. So Rosh is a pretty easy one. It means head, it means start, it means beginning. Shana is a little more complicated. We all know Shana means year. That's why we're here. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year. But Shana has always bothered me, especially in relation to years, and especially when we look at the stories that we learn from Genesis and look at some of our ancestors. We take a look at Abraham and Sarah, who, according to the text, had a child when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. Now, even today, with our modern medicine and things like that, we must admit that 190 are a little bit advanced in years to be bringing a child into the world. And I don't just mean because you have to run after them, but actual, you know, biology and stuff like that. So you have to wonder about those numbers a little bit. A little bit later on, we hear that Moses, who was a desert wanderer, lived to be 120 years old. I don't think we have a human, you know, who is 120 years old even today. We have people get up into 100 and teens, but, you know, 120 again is pretty advanced in years. And I thought about this for a long time and looked at this word shana because it says that Abraham was mea shana, 100 shana, when Isaac was born. Sarah was tishim shana, 90 shana. And a while back, I realized that the word shana has another meaning beside year. It means change. On Pesach, we go, ma nishtana halayla hazeh. Nishtana is shana. What's different? What's changed about this day from all the other days? So we see that shana has this other meaning. And if we take this meaning, shana, to mean change, what if we looked at the years that way? What if Abraham was not 100 years old, but 100 changes of season old? That would have made him 25. Sarah would have been about 23. You know, they lived in the Middle Bronze Age, and average human life expectancy then was about 20 to 25 years old. That was it. If you need to feel old, that should do it for you right there. So having a child when they were 25 and 23 would actually still be pretty miraculous for back then. And as for Moses, if we take that 120 divided by 4, he lived to be 30, which was a full and complete life. So this word shana, we need to take a look at it, not just for some academic reason, but because it, if we understand Rosh Hashanah to mean the beginning of change, then what we're doing here makes sense. Because the coming year is going to be filled with change. Babies will be born. Right now, there are expectant parents and expectant grandparents who are waiting, b'sha'ah tova, for the right moment for that new life to come into the world and into their families. Children will start school, secular school, religious school. People will become bar and bat mitzvah, confirmed. They'll get their driver's licenses. They'll graduate high school. They'll go to college, graduate college, get new jobs, get married. All kinds of change is going to go on in the coming year. And those are all good changes. And as we sit on this beginning of the new year, we can start to think about them and anticipate them now. And we know that other changes will come too. It's the way of the world. People will suffer reversals of fortune. Some for the better, some for the worse. People will lose their jobs. People will get sick. People will die. It's the way of the world. Change happens. In this congregation, we're going to be going through one of the biggest changes in the congregation's history. When next summer, you welcome your first new rabbi in 36 years. And that's going to be quite a change. Now, telling you the change is going to happen is nothing new. But I want you all to be aware that I honestly do not know of another congregation in any location, in any denomination, in any religion that is better equipped to handle the changes that lie ahead than Temple Road of Torah. And I'd like to take a couple of minutes and prove it to you. So how many of you here, by show of hands, remember when we used to hold all our services in Asher Home School or in people's homes, and we had bar and bat mitzvahs and restaurants and catering halls? Yes, we have some people there. Good. Keep your hands up for a second. Who remembers when we built that building over on Mohawk Drive that's ours? A couple more hands going up. You remember back then that our bima was higher than this? Right? When it was like a mountain climbing thing to get to our bima. It was really good. Who remembers the renovation? 12 years ago, renovated the whole thing, brought the bima down to where you didn't need oxygen. It was really good. You got that? How many of you know what the temple building looks like? Because if you think this is our synagogue, this isn't it, really. So, good. So we have a lot of things have changed over the years. How many of you remember when Rich Herzog used to sing for us on high holidays and for some of the Shabbatot during the year? Good. How many of you remember Cantor Davis? Oh, good. How many remember Cantor Shukat Marx? How many remember Cantor Alexander? Okay. How many of you have met Cantor Lawrence? Good, because if you haven't, you really should get to know him because he's fascinating. And every time I talk to him, I learn something new. Changes have been going on. Now, here's a trick question. Who remembers the name of our first educator? It was not Edna Coleman. Elsa something. Yep. Elsa Williams was our first educator. And soon after that, Edna Coleman became our educator. Who remembers Edna? Nice. Good. And while Edna was still here, Ruth Margolin came and took over the high school program. Who remembers Ruth? No, okay. And then after that, Rabbi Stern took over our primary school, and Barbara Klein took over our high school. Who remembers Rabbi Stern and Barbara Klein? Yes, remember that? Good. And how many of you have met David Grunlund Jacob, our educator? Again, another fascinating person you should really meet. Change has been happening. All of you are holding in your hands this book, Mishkan HaNefesh, the new changed High Holiday Prayer Book for the Reform Movement. This is the Rosh Hashanah book. This is the Yom Kippur book. Before that, we piloted the first edition of it when we weren't sure we were going to use it or not, but that was here. Before that, we used On Wings of Awe. That was our High Holiday Prayer Book. And before that, when I got here, we were using the Union Prayer Book, newly revised 1937. Really, honest. Volume 2, High Holidays. By the way, this was all Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the whole thing right here. Services weren't shorter, the sermons were longer. This was our Shabbat book, Union Prayer Book, newly revised 1937, Volume 1. After that, we went to Gates of Prayer. After that, we at TRT didn't like what was going on with Gates of Prayer and there was nothing new, so we created our own prayer book, first in paperback and then in hardcover. And then, not too long ago, we took the new Reform Movement's prayer book, Mishkan Tefillah. Change. One change after another after another. How many of you remember the first year of Rosh Shabbat? How about the first year of Rosh Hashanah? Who remembers when we started Shabbat under the stars? Who remembers the start of Torah and tequila? Right? Who remembers the first Eat, Pray, Learn? Yeah, by the way, the women who said they remember Torah and tequila, I want to know how you remember that. Okay. Who remembers when we started the Salam Shalom Sisterhood? And who remembers the first time we went to Wicker Church? Who remembers when we decided to create a blessing for new drivers? Oh, yeah. Who remembers when we started collecting food for on Yom Kippur? And who remembers that wild Yom Kippur when I asked you to go out on Yom Kippur and shop for food? And everyone thought the guy is really lost at this time. But you did. What has defined Temple Rodef Torah over all of these years has been change. I can't think of a single time in our history when we were not changing. And when people come to me and say, you know, things are changing. I wish they were like they used to be. I go, when? At what point was they used to be? Because we have been changing every year since I've been here. We've changed locations. We've changed books. We've changed staff. We've changed ideas. And you have embraced this. That doesn't mean you liked every change. And I know this because you're not shy. And when you don't like a change, you tell me. And I love that. You need to know how much I love that. You've heard me say this before. Pardon me for repeating myself. But you as a congregation have been so open to change that it has given all of us who work here the freedom to really try new things. Because I have colleagues that try new things, and if they don't succeed fantastically, they are called before the board of directors. And the board says to them, why did we spend all that money? Why did we waste all of that time? And it didn't even work. Well, believe me, as soon as you say that, you kill any thought of change happening. Because why would anyone be dumb enough to try change when it means you're going to get yelled at for it? What happens here? We try new things. And sometimes people come and say, man, that was fantastic. And sometimes you come and say, wow, that bombed. And I love both reactions. Because when you come and say, wow, that bombed, what are we doing next? You give us the freedom to try other things. You give us the freedom to make changes. Now, there are going to be a lot of changes in the coming year at TRT. And I will almost guarantee that any of you that are involved in any way with this congregation are going to hear people kvetching. I don't like the changes. It's changed. Why has it changed? Look at them and say, when didn't it change? Really, I will challenge anyone in the room to give me a time when Temple Rodef Torah has not been in the middle of changing. Because I can't identify a single year, not a single year, that we have not been in the middle of changing. And I want you to hold on to that because you're really, really good at it. And if you can hold on to that idea, the change becomes way less scary, way less upsetting, and honestly, far more exciting. What's going to happen next? I don't know. We'll see. Is it going to work? I don't know. Maybe it'll be fantastic. Maybe it'll bomb. And if it bombs, you know what we're going to do as a congregation? We're going to go to the next thing and try that one. Because that's what we do. Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of change. A new year of change is happening. But I told you I wanted to play with this word Shana. And I want to share with you something else which is really cool. Because Shana has another meaning too. Shana means to teach. When we read V'ahavta, we say, V'shinantam levanecha, you shall teach it to your children. V'shinantam, that's shana. And maybe it's because our ancestors understood that when you teach someone something, you change them. You make a change in their lives. You are the most amazing teachers I have ever, ever known. I need you to understand how much, how deeply I mean that. When I think back on who I was when I came here, I was 30 years old. I thought I knew everything. I was wrong. You taught me. First, you taught me what I didn't know. And then you taught me what I needed to know. You have been incredible teachers. When I did something with absolute surety, and I was wrong, many people would take the response of, I'm out of here, I don't need this. And by the way, some did. Not the members of this temple, though. You came to me and said, hey, Don, back up a little bit. Think about what you said through someone else's eyes. Think about what this means to someone who's been through this experience. And I went, oh, you taught me. And when I tried something and it didn't work, you told me. Most of the time, you told me gently. But either way, you told me. And you helped me to learn. And some of you who have a very, very special place in my heart, some from a long time ago and some only recently, have been the ones to pull me aside and say, hey, Don, take a breath. Back off a little bit. You're kind of intense. That's not a secret to anyone. And maybe we should just think this through before we take the next step. Would that be okay? And so you taught me. You're really, really, really good teachers. And so now at this Rosh Hashanah, this beginning of a time of teaching, I'm going to ask you to be teachers again. First, I need you to teach me. I have, as I see it, one major lesson yet to learn here at Temple Road of Torah. I need to learn how to let go. That's not easy to do. As all of you who have raised children know, it's often long after your children are ready to fly that you're still going, let me help you with that, let me help you with that, let me help you with that, until finally at one point your kids say to you, hey, I got it. If you're lucky, they say, hey, you taught me well, and I got it. I can do it from here. I need you to help me with this in the coming year. Because as I said, and you all laughed, so I know we're on the same side, I'm pretty intense. And my love for Temple Road of Torah is pretty intense also. And I need to learn from you that you're ready to take the next step. So in this coming year, please be my teachers once more. Let me know that you got it. Let me know that you're good. Let me know that you can take it from here and move forward. I would very, very much appreciate your being my teachers with that. And then the biggest challenge. In the next years, there are going to be new rabbis coming here. Next summer, there'll be an interim rabbi who will come here for 1 year to help you all through the change from Rabbi Weber to the next rabbi you're going to have who's going to be here for a long time. And then that following summer, there will be a new rabbi here who's going to move in, settle down, make this their home, make this their congregation. I need you to teach them. When they come here, they're going to know how to do services. They're going to know how to do a bar and bat mitzvahs. They're going to know how to do weddings. They're going to know how to do funerals. But they're not going to know anything about Temple Road of Torah, and they're not going to know anything about you. And I need you to be their teachers because you're really good at it. Teach them what we've done, which doesn't mean it's what we have to keep doing. But teach them what we've done. Teach them who we are, what we believe in, what we stand for. Teach them what it is that makes our congregation get up and act, because we found some things that make this congregation get up and act in miraculous ways. When they do things differently, before you say something, ask yourself, I know it's different. Maybe it's really good and I just didn't notice. And when you find that they do something that's new and different and really good, tell them. Tell them. Let them know. Teach them. Yeah, you hit it. That's the sweet spot right there. That's the one. Do that. We're good with that. And when they do something and it bombs, teach them gently. Really. Hey, Rabbi. I'm not sure everybody was with you on that one. Well, let's take a look. You are amazing teachers. You've always been amazing teachers. Many years ago, my rabbi, Rabbi Norman Kahan, Zichronot Livracha, gave me the highest compliment I ever received in my rabbinic life. He quoted from the Mishnah, and he said, I've learned from all my teachers. I've learned even more from my colleagues. But most of all, I've learned from my students. When he said that to me, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing. He was the first time I had made a connection with a rabbi. And I was the first time he made a connection with a student. And so I want to share with you something that I told all the religious school students on the first day of school this year. I told them that, to be perfectly honest, I do not remember the names of every bar and bat mitzvah that I've done at Temple Rodef Torah. The number is approximately 1,000. And I don't remember everybody. But I told them, you better believe that I remember the first ones. You better believe that I remember the names of everyone and every family that was here when I got here, the people that welcomed me, the people that opened their hearts to me, the people that taught me way back in the beginning when I thought I knew everything. And now you have the opportunity to be that for the new rabbi. All of you. When that rabbi comes here for a little while next year, and then after that, stuff they're not going to know. They're not going to know that Bagel World has the best bagels and challah anywhere in New Jersey. They need you to tell them this. They need you to tell them how to avoid the traffic jam at 520 and Tennant Road when you're trying to get to services on a Friday evening. Because if you're there the wrong time, you're not going to get here till Saturday morning. They need to know that it's worth waiting till C&J opens because they got the best corn anywhere. There's so many things they need to know. And if you're the first ones there, you get to teach them. The students in our school will be the first ones to teach them about who our young people are. The adults in our congregations will be the first ones to teach them what it means to be the rabbi of Temple Rodef Torah. If you want to know how much that can mean, then I invite you anytime after these holidays to come to my office and ask me to show you one of the pictures that sits on my desk. Because it's a picture of me and Rabbi Kahan. It was later on in life. I still called him Rabbi, my rabbi. And he still called me his student. He knew who I was to the day he died. I remember him as I remember my own family. You, each of you has the opportunity to be that in the life of a new rabbi who will be coming here. And I really, truly hope that you will. And so we come to Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of a new year, the beginning of new changes, the beginning of new learning and new teaching. And my prayer for each of you is that it will be as you have made every one of these 36 years for me, a Shana Tova. Thank you.
This podcast is copyright 2024 Rabbi Don Weber. All rights reserved. You may copy and distribute any episode freely as long as it is preserved in its entirety. For additional permissions, please contact me. Thank you.